Today we check in with Aran Yakabuchi as a candidate for governor's counselor in District 4 in Massachusetts, coming up on the September 3rd state primary. Aran, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Joe, and thank you for this opportunity.
It is our pleasure. We've known you, of course, for many, many years through the Mass Higher Career Centers. Here, is this the first time you've run for elective office?
No, I've run in the past at the local level, city council, school committee, but here we are in the on the Democratic ballot September 3rd, right around about 33, 34 days from now.
From this recording, yeah, exactly.
From this recording, yeah.
You know, people who go to vote all the time see the governor's council on the ballot, and typically they don't understand what it is or what they're voting for. So maybe that'd be a good place to start. What is the governor's council, Ron?
Well, you know, when they see it on the ballot, Joe, they don't even see governor's council. They see counselor. Yeah. So in the cards that I've passed out, my signs around town, my website, my Facebook page, I emphasize the word counselor. Because it's even more confusing. It's you know, when you get down ballot, you know, it's not the United States Senate, it's not the governor, it's not the Congress. Those down ballot elections don't get as much attention. A lot of people don't know what it is. I mean, I did a listening tour. I call it a listening tour of the 4th district. I've campaigned in every one of the 19 communities that's in this district. And the most popular question is, you know, what's the governor's council and who's my governor's counselor, you know? And I think, you know, I'm running hopefully to resolve all of that. I don't want to be just a rubber stamp on the governor's council, rubber stamping judicial appointments and spending. I want to be a proactive counselor, a counselor that's going to work with everyone to drive change, positive change, that's going to make our judicial system better. That's the bottom line. So the governor's council has a lot of checks and balances there with the governor over our judicial system. All the appointments have to come through the governor's council. It's something that's been around for over, you know, 244 years. I think it was John Adams that put the governor's council in the original Massachusetts Constitution. Of course, it even existed in the colonial days prior to that. And it's gone through a lot of transformations. Basically what it's known as the executive council also. And there are 8 individuals that comprise that council that are elected in districts. This particular 4th district, it covers most of Boston, Quincy down to Duxbury, and then I call the Dedham Corridor, Dedham, Westwood, Walpole, and Norwood. And it basically is comprised of 5 senatorial districts. So if you live in John Keenan's district or Nick Collins' district or Pat O'Connor's district or Mike Rush's district or Liz Miranda's district, then you're in our district. You're in the governor's council district. It's a lot of territory to cover. And it meets weekly. They record advice and consent on pardons, commutations, gubernatorial appointments, such as judges and clerk magistrates, public administrators, members of the parole board, appellate tax board, industrial accident board, industrial accident review board, also all the notaries, the justices of the peace. That all comes through the governor's council. And the other thing that comes through the governor's council is the warrant. We approve, the governor's council has to approve all of the state spending.
Really?
And that usually is something, again, where, you know, where I would take a more proactive role in that instead of just rubber stamping these appointments or this spending. There are a lot of, I mean, I oversee a city department that does a warrant once a month, and I'm signing off on hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? But we dot the I's, cross the T's. These folks on the governor's council are overseeing a warrant where they're spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars every week. And, you know, I want to make sure we have accessibility, accountability, transparency. You know, I give one example when they, it was featured in the Globe the other day, where they spent $931 million on trying to provide assistance to the migrants, right? Now, you know, I do, that's my job. I work with them and we do the best we can for them. But, you know, looking at that, the Globe criticized the spending because there wasn't any procurement done. There wasn't any vetting done. You know, we have to procure everything. We have to vet everything. I think it has to be a little more than just all those in favor say aye, opposed. No, the ayes have it. The warrant's approved. It's this thick. Nobody looks at it. Come on. So we have an important role to play. The governor's council has an important role to play in shaping the judicial system and also in shaping the spending of the taxpayer dollars. And you know, and I want to be just more than that. I want to be proactive. I want to look at our judicial system. You know, I got to believe that everybody that's working and touches our judicial system is doing the best they can. But I think if you ask everyone, we know we can do better. I oversee that mass hire system, and every day it touches the lives of people that are affected by the judicial system. And I think we could be doing better for these people. I'll give another example. So the marijuana pardons, something that I was in, it would have supported if I was on the governor's council. But I testified at that hearing, and the way they did it, I think, was all, it doesn't solve the problem, because what you need to do is expunge the record, not just grant a pardon. You've got to expunge the record, because that documentation is still there, and it affects what we try to do with employers to put some people to work. So, you know, they should have done it not just symbolically by granting the pardon, but they should have done it by completing the process, and that it would have had a more desirable effect. You also have a situation where there could have been a lot of conflicts of interest. You know, you've got a relative that you just pardoned. You have a contributor that you just pardoned, a family member, whatever, a business associate. You know, they should have been very careful about the way they rolled these pardons out to make certain that people would recuse themselves if they found conflicts. And I think these are some of the things that I would be doing differently if I were on the governor's council. When you ask the question, who is your governor's counselor? The incumbent has been in that office for over 37 years now. A lot of the folks, almost all the folks that I talk to around the district, and I've been to the town meetings, I've been to the town elections, I've been to the Democratic caucuses, the Democratic state convention, I've been to the Democratic committees. People don't know this person. People have not had any interaction with this person. I think if you're going to be a governor's counselor, you've got to really listen to people. You've got to be in the district. You've got to push the agenda. I mean, we have in our district, in this district, the fourth district, there are four mayors, five senators, state senators, 23 state reps. You've got counselors, you've got select board members, school committee members. You know, these are the people we need to be connecting to. They're connecting to their constituents, and the governor's council should be working with these people to push whatever influence I would have as a counselor to the governor to push our agenda here on a lot of different issues and things. And that's you know, really what the governor's council is all about. And to answer your question, and I think those are the kinds of, you know, differences that I would bring to the job.
Is it a paid position, Ron?
It's a part-time position. It has a salary of $36,500, I believe. And it's one day a week that the governor's council meets. Although, I mean, obviously, it could involve a lot more than that if you really wanted it to. There was a law on the books that talks about term limits for governor's counselors. It was ruled unconstitutional, but the term limit they set was after 8 years, after four terms, you can't receive any compensation anymore, which sort of set a term limit, which is not a bad thing. I mean, when you think about it, you know, when you're in that job for a long time, that's why people don't know what it is, and that's why people don't know what who the counselor is. And I think it's important to have that kind of transparency. It's also important to have that kind of turnaround to kind of keep things interesting and get people involved and get people engaged.
So it's a 2-year term.
It's a 2-year term. Yeah,
Term.
it's a 2-year term.
Okay.
So you would
And
be on
are
the.
the,
I'm
I'm sorry,
sorry.
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Are the meetings run, you know, like a city council meeting? Is there a president of the governor's
No,
council? No.
yeah. So the person that convenes the council meetings and is a member of the council is the lieutenant governor.
Oh,
And
okay.
lieutenant governor, on occasion, will step down if there's a tie vote to break the tie, and the governor will preside. That's happened. That happens quite often. And so that's basically the composition. The eight districts. Each district is bigger than a congressional district. I was on a Zoom call the other night with who governs the governor's council. It's a grassroots group of people that are looking at it and trying to raise awareness about it. And one of the suggestions I made was maybe you need to make the districts are too big for it to function and for ha to have that kind of access and connection. Maybe we need to expand the council and have 10 members or 16 members so that the districts are smaller and people can feel more connected. That was just, you know, they're throwing out ideas on how we can make it better. Because the point that you made at the beginning is like nobody knows what it is, nobody knows who the guy is, and so we need to fix that. And hopefully, we can do that. So,
So with now with judicial appointments, so Do you need legal background to, in order
No.
to
In fact,
qualify?
look, I'm not an attorney. I was accepted to law school. I never went. I went as far as Boston College undergrad and was fortunate enough to be elected president of the undergraduate government there, which was quite an honor. I do working on a master's in public administration, but I never went to law school. But I always had an interest in the law and in the judicial system. And but I don't think we need any more attorneys on the governor's council because that poses another conflict. Okay, so you know, and the spotlight has been on the governor's council recently, which is kind of interesting. The governor, with her appointment of her romantic partner
Oh, right.
to the judicial court, the marijuana pardons. We have a governor now for the first time ever that's actually the first year of her term is issuing pardons. Which is not a bad thing. I mean, you know, we deal with compassion every day and empathy every day for people. And a lot of people have turned their lives around. They deserve a second chance. I mean, these are things that we should be looking at and doing. And she set some guidelines for that. And that's something we could work on. But the spotlight is on it, you know, and so more people are now aware of, okay, so what is that and what does it do? And I don't think we need more attorneys because, as I said, that poses a conflict. You're appointing judges to the bench and now you're practicing in front of those judges. And that raises a whole other set of issues relative to recusal and so forth. So best to avoid that, best to just have a regular person, I think that, and I, you know, and look at, I've had a lot of experience in both the public and the private sector. And I think all those skills, that experience I would bring to this job. And I think that's the kind of fit you need in order to drive positive change, in order to make things better. And that's where we're coming from.
Okay, so when it comes to like pardons and commutations, you know, what is your benchmark for making that determination as to whether somebody should be pardoned or not?
Well, there's a process that you go through, whether it's judicial appointments, it's a judicial nominating committee. It's quite an extensive process that they've to vet people. Same with the parole board. And I think that, you know, by the time it comes to the governor's council, there's been enough of vetting, and I think it's having access to that information and knowledge, and then making decisions. You know, people are being interviewed. I mean, that's basically been my role for the past over 20 years. You know, putting aces in their places. I mean, that's, you know, I think I have those kinds of skills and experience relative to the process. To interview people, to ask the right questions, and to look at, you know, when you're picking a judge, it's just not so much, you know, do they have compassion? Do they have the right temperament? But show me examples, you know, give me examples of what you've done with your life and in the community that because there are a lot of folks that and including the Governor's Council that are sort of like the Governor's Council has been called a number of different things, and this doesn't come from me; it comes from this other group that I'm involved with the who governs the Governor's Council that it criticizes the council quite rightly. You know, they call it the clown show. It's not run like a city council meeting, although there should be rules, and we could, and I'd be working to try to improve that process. I think right now in this cycle, there are eight districts. There are four of those districts where there are two open seats and there are two that are being contested. So if we could potentially have four new people on that governor's council and really make some changes as to the process and the procedures. Because if you watch them now every Wednesday, it's they live stream them. You understand what I'm saying.
I was
So,
going to ask about
yeah,
public
go on
information.
mass.gov, governor's council, and you can watch the show. And we could do better, I guess, is what I'm trying to suggest. We could do better. And it seems like, you know, the conversation I have with the lieutenant governor, she told me we need more good people on the governor's council. So there you go.
So why now, Ron? Why are you determining to do this now?
You know, I've always had an interest, as I mentioned. I think what motivates me is the background and experience I've had that I think I could apply to this and make change. I've been driving change all my life, right? So now we're dealing with the judicial system, and I see what the judicial system has done, whether it's the guardianship that I had to get from my son and the process I had to go through, or a family member that's been divorced and the process they have to go through, or there's another one of our customers at the Career Center. He's a young a black man. He's being accused of assault and battery, guilty until proven innocent. You know, we're trying to get him his benefits, trying to get him back to work, but he has a passion for working where he was, and he's not allowed to do that. And that case has dragged on in the district court for over a year. over a year with no result. And that's just an injustice in and of itself. I can go on and on, but I mean, it's just, it affects the customers that we have that come in, whether they're dealing with a mental illness or they're dealing with a reentry, that sort of thing. I mean, addiction. So I see it, and I think it really impacts the judicial system, impacts that. And I want to use whatever effort and energy and enthusiasm I have to try to make a change. And that's the reason why I'm running.
Okay. And so the way it works now is the governor appoints judicial nominees and the council approves them. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And is
That
that
is
that's at
correct.
the state court level, not the Supreme Court level?
It's on all levels.
All levels.
All levels,
Okay.
yeah. So you've got all the courts. The people that sit on those benches come through the governor's council.
I see. Okay. Very good.
Yeah. So Supreme Judicial Court, Court of
Yeah.
Appeals, District Courts, et cetera.
Yeah, so you really do have the power and authority to shape the future of the court system.
You do, and the problem is you've got, unfortunately, it's rubber stamping some of those appointments, rubber stamping some of that expenditure. I think we need to do more than that. And I think a governor's counselor should be working with the elected public officials in his or her area, the population in his or her area, and bringing all the different people that touch our judicial system together and talk about how we could do it better. That's where a governor's counselor can provide some leadership with that, not just go to a meeting once a week and vote on something. I mean, that's
So,
really should be more proactive. That's the kind of governor's counsel I want to be, to affect, as I keep saying, the positive change and to make things better.
yeah, I honestly, I don't recall the governor's council ever rejecting a judicial nominee in my lifetime, anyway. Can the governor's council actually cut spending?
Well, the governor's council, so part of what the governor's council is supposed to be doing, which is very important, is when there are contracts that have to be changed relative to agreements, or there's additional when projects go over budget, so to speak, the governor's council is supposed to be looking at that and determining that there's no fraud, there's no abuse, there's no waste. That's an active thing that is part of that approval process and the warrant that goes through every week. And so we can't I suppose if we wanted to pick and choose things out of that warrant and say, we're not going to vote for this because this is not appropriate. Yeah, I think we have that authority.
Well,
But,
okay.
it's like it was described to me. It's a package they get that's about this thick every week.
Yeah.
And whether they look at it or don't look at it, it's just a very simple motion to approve it. Now, I'm not questioning the people that are involved in putting that package together. But I think if I were the governor's council before I voted on something, I'd want to look into that a little bit more. And start, picking and choosing some things that maybe need to be investigated before we just blanketly approve the spending for that. But they have to approve the warrant that allows to spend the vendors to be paid.
Yeah, so really it's designed to be an independent third party check and balance system.
It's checks and balances.
Yeah.
That's our democracy, right? So when the folks wrote the Constitution, John Adams, he talked about checks and balances on the governor, and it's been vested in a governor's council. So we really need to make sure that that is working effectively as an effective check and balance.
How can folks learn more about you and your campaign, Ron?
Well, I've got a Facebook page. I've got a website. I would invite people to, get on rpi.vote. And my Facebook page is Yakabuchi 4, the number 4 governor's counselor. And you'll learn more about the Governor's Council, learn more about me. Although I know a lot of people from Quincy know me, I'm the only candidate that's going to be running as a counselor that's from Quincy. I think it'd be great if we could have someone from Quincy on that Governor's Council finally. It's been a long time. I think the last counselor that was on there was a fellow named Peter Ely, and that was like about maybe over 34 years ago. So, and it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm running also as Ronald Primo Iacobucci. I'm using the name Primo to honor my father who passed away last year. And it also is kind of a catchy thing because, the name, it begins with an I, ends with an I. I think they see that Primo, they remember that. If they can't get the Iacobucci, they remember the Primo, and that means number one in Italian. So hopefully that, and you're an Italian too there, Joe. So you get that for the Primo. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, and look, I'm an original. I like to say to people that I'm an original West Ender, the West End of Boston.
Oh, which was there
Right
in
now, oh yeah, my
Boston?
family, my father came over on the boat from Italy and settled in the West End. My mother and her family were West Enders. That whole neighborhood, as you know, was probably one of the most diverse neighborhoods in the city and the state. And it was unfortunate. It got torn down because of urban renewal, and that's when we moved to Quincy. So we've been Quincy in the South Shore, almost all our lives, except for a brief stint when I worked for the mayor of Boston for 4 years, Kevin White, and I had to live in Boston. So even at Boston College, I commuted, so I was never far away from Quincy, even when I was going to school at BC. But I was a little city hall manager there. I dealt a lot. I learned a lot from a lot of the experiences that I've had in government about the importance of constituent service, the importance of listening. I mean, look, I'm running a campaign of ideas. I've got a lot of ideas, but I really want to listen to what people think relative to our judicial system and how we can make it better, fairer, more accessible. Really listening to people, that's the key. And that's what I intend to do. So
All right, you'll be on the ballots September 3rd, the day after Labor Day.
the day, let's say that again, the day after Labor Day. And so it's a day when, there's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives, kids going back to school, vacations ending, but it's the Tuesday, September 3rd, the day after Labor Day. So a lot of people won't be voting. So I would hopefully encourage people to either vote by mail, which is their option now. They can vote in person, up to a week before, or they can vote on the election day. So it really, Joe, what it comes down to is almost every day now is an election day.
Almost, you're right.
So
Yeah.
hopefully,
Once you get your mail-in ballot, you can vote. Yeah.
you can vote. Exactly. Yeah. And so hopefully people listening to this will take the time. There's not much that might appeal to people that's on the ballot. You've got a registry of deeds, you've got a clerk of courts, you've got the governor's council. Most other positions are running without opposition. So that wouldn't necessarily, get people excited about coming out to vote, but it is important. All these positions are important, and your voice matters, especially where there's going to be a very low turnout. The greater the turnout, especially the greater the turnout in Quincy, I hope would benefit me against two Boston candidates that I'm running against, so that turnout would definitely be helpful. Especially in a low turnout election. I mean, they're predicting maybe 10, 15% turnout in this particular primary, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. So it does matter. I know more people are focused on the November election
Sure. Yeah.
between what I think will be Harris and Trump. But this election is important too. So I would encourage people, you can reach out to me over my website, rpi.vote, stands for Ronald Primo Iacobucci, rpi.vote, or you get on my Facebook page, and appreciate whatever thoughts you might have about the judicial system that I need to hear, and also supporting my campaign. I would, and you could do that by, it's all social media now, isn't it, Joe? So
Really
you could
is,
do
yeah.
that by putting something on your Facebook page. I know Quincy Is Everything did something for me the other day, which was very much appreciated. I think Jeff kind of put it well after he talked with me. He was like, what the heck is the governor's council? And then as he talked with me a little bit more, he kind of realized, gee whiz, this is something we should be take an interest in, because it impacts us. It impacts our lives. The judicial system impacts the lives. Everybody's touched by it. And I know we could do better by it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running. So encourage people to get involved and to get out there and vote.
All right. Appreciate the time, Ron, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Joe. Take
You're
care.
welcome. Thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.